I've been to the Silicon Valley, to Cupertino, to the Apple HQ, stuff like that. It was so cool. And obviously the conference itself.
You know, you should have seen me talking on the phone with the local reseller. The moment she told me that I will get an additional discount, apart from the normal discount they give me, I was like, okay, order this.
Boom, done.
They bought LinkedIn because CEO of Microsoft was fed up with the spam messages coming from LinkedIn. Hello back, I'm Michael.
And I'm Radek.
And this is the podcast where we talk about productivity, technology, and the books we've just read and learn something, right?
And rockets and basketball and anything. I don't know. It's the podcast.
It's the podcast. We talk about anything that we find useful, entertaining, but you know, mostly useful for us. And we believe that you know you could take away something from that.
Okay, so this is a just a thing we're trying out. We're thinking if we should introduce ourselves, like if there's someone new listening, should we like have an intro? A lot of podcasts don't do an intro, many do. So I don't know, we're just trying stuff out.
Yeah, and just you know, we both work for the same company, for Nosby, but usually we don't talk a lot about the company in this show.
Sure. I'm back home.
Yeah, so you just came from the WWDC in San Francisco, right?
Yes, my second time in the US, my second time in California. And it's been great. It's been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, apparently following you on Twitter, you know, what you're doing. And also you've been posting things in our Slack channel. So it was worth it, right?
Yeah, it was. And I admit I might have been hyperactive on Twitter during the last week. So sorry about that if it was too much for anyone. But yeah, I really hope I'll have an opportunity to go next year.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that you'll be willing to finance most of the trip again. Because it's, I mean, San Francisco, so yeah.
Yeah, the trip was cheap.
Not.
Yeah.
I find it better not to think about what it cost, just about how great it was. So.
Yeah, but just remember, you know, when I asked you if you wanted to go, and that we could, that our company could, you know, co-finance some of the things, and you said, all right, I'll maybe. But now I think you have a different point of view, right?
You're right. And like that was with an assumption that, all right, I can sign up for the lottery, but they're not going to take me anyway, right? It's like an unlikely event and it did happen. And I'm not so sure about how unlikely it is anymore. And you're right. I've been to WWDC before, but like even though I got something out of it, it was like nothing like this one. It's just, it's amazing. Like, it's been so great. I literally like, it was hard to say goodbye to this awful city of San Francisco and get back home. It just was so cool. You know, it could have lasted longer. And now I just can't wait for another WWDC next year.
Yeah, that's great. But let's dive a little bit deeper. So apart from, you know, personal experience, you know, being in San Francisco with all the homeless people and everything, you know, what I mean, you know, can you just, you know, walk us through your experience? I mean, and you know, kind of way that we could follow why it was so great and what really did happen there?
Right. So it was a few things, and I partly explained it a few episodes back, but now like actually going through this, like it's really what I thought it would be, just better. And so like the thing that made this conference so great was the people, like all of the people. It's amazing. It's like half or two thirds of the people I follow on Twitter were there.
Right.
And wow. I've met so many wonderful people there, and some of them I haven't seen in a very long time. Some of whom I've known from Twitter, but I've never met in person. So many new faces too, It's been just so much fun hanging out with all of these people and you know, making new friends last week. So that was awesome. And the second great thing was just some of the city. And obviously, San Francisco has some of the not so great things, and much of which I already experienced 2 years ago. But it turns out there are some things in San Francisco and around San Francisco that I haven't been to, that I've never seen, and were just so great. On the Sunday, the day before the keynote, I literally did like 25 kilometers on my legs, just hiking.
Yeah.
through the city and the nature around the city, and you know, I've been to the Silicon Valley, to Cupertino, to the Apple HQ, stuff like that. It was so cool, and obviously the conference itself. And I haven't been to many sessions, so the actual presentations. So I've caught up with them a bit on my flight back home, and I still have so much to watch. I try to hang out as much as possible downstairs in the labs where all of the Apple engineers were, and try to like pick their brain about all of the details that I want to know and didn't, right? So I got out many interesting details about how watchOS works, like a lot of the things that made my life a lot worse because I just didn't know, and I didn't know anyone to ask, and that wasn't documented anywhere, that wasn't in the presentations, and now I know those things, and now I have to write a blog post about them, and like so much I've learned or tried to just absorb from people who actually work on this stuff, and that's unique, right? The city was fun. All of the people were great, and there isn't really an opportunity like this during the year for iOS developers to see like so many familiar faces in one town, but you can still like see them elsewhere, right? Many of them. But the thing that's like unique that you just cannot reproduce outside of WWDC is the labs, the ability to like have around you, you know, hundreds of Apple engineers and find the people who know the stuff that you don't know, that isn't documented, that isn't anywhere, right? And actually learn from that.
No, and actually, when I looked at the whole thing about, you know, WWDC, is that I also follow a few people on Twitter who went to San Francisco, and they actually, you know, went there without the ticket to the WWDC conference, but they still stayed there because there were so many other conferences around it and so many events around it that they were pretty busy just being around the place.
Oh yeah, so many people who came for WWDC and were in San Francisco during the week that didn't actually have a badge, a ticket to the conference itself. Like, it's so cool that there's this conference organized every year that's called AltConf, like alternative conference, that's like literally on the other side of the road from on the other side of the street from Moscone West, where WWDC happens, right? And so I know that there have been people like on Friday, like some people already leave on Friday and don't see some of the conference, and like give their badges to some other friend who didn't get the ticket, right? Like, you're not supposed to do it, but in practice, no one cares and it's fine. And so a friend of my friend's who has been in town for AltConf, like, even though he didn't get in, they didn't pick him. He wanted to, but he didn't get a ticket. He still experienced a day of WWDC, which is like so cool.
Yeah, this is really, really fantastic. And you know, and the cool thing, you know, for us, because I mean, this is one of the things, of course, I wasn't there. I mean, we sent you, and I didn't want to go this time. But what I really liked about it is as you said, that like most people we know and respect came to San Francisco, and I mean, and I was really jealous when I saw you hanging out with them. You know, I because there were lots of people I wanted to meet too, so yeah. I was kind of jealous on one hand, and on the second thing, you know, was that. What I love about our job of running Nozbe, of developing our, you know, our apps, because we have apps for all the platforms, and especially, you know, closest to our hearts are the iOS and the Mac, is that you know, so many cool things were announced, and so many things will be brainstorming now, like what we can do mm-hmm. to actually improve our application for the watch, for the iPhone, for the iPad, for the Mac, and for me, one of the perks of running Nozbe is that we get to be on the cutting edge, you know, and we get to study these things and to investigate and to learn them. And for me, you know, I was actually, you know, not being there, but I was still swallowing all the news, everything that, you know, was just around the event.
Yeah, yeah. And like, just to add about all of the people in WWDC, I think the biggest like surprise, like something I would not expect, which happened last week, is I met CGP Grey in person, which is like, I really like this guy's work. I absolutely love both of his podcasts and his YouTube videos. They're like so great. And like, he's the sort of person that doesn't appear in places. Like, you would have a hard time finding a photo of him in the internet. He just doesn't do that. And he was there. And like, he snuck in on, let's just say, a well-known iOS developer's badge to the conference on Friday to hang out around the Swift Labs. And saw the Swift playgrounds, how they work. I was like super impressed with it, and I was there too. And it's just like, that doesn't happen. That's like very rare. So cool.
I mean, just for everyone to understand. I mean, really, Radek. I mean, if you have listened to past of our shows, Radek actually, you know, because he believes so much in audiobooks, which I share his belief, he cut down on number of podcasts that he's listening to, but he's not cutting down on the podcasts by CGP Grey. So just think about it, you know, how big of a fan of CGP Grey's Radek is. So think about it that, you know, he's the big fan of CGP Grey, and CGP Grey just magically appears where he is. So so just put yourself in his shoes now.
Yeah, yeah, it's so great. And speaking of like the benefit to us, like so much of WWDC was amazing for me, like personally, but it's also so cool that I could gain knowledge and connections that I couldn't have otherwise gotten for Nozbe, right? Like I complained so much about our watchOS app, right? That even though we tried, it kind of sucks.
Right.
And pretty much all watch apps suck. And there's some things that that I cannot change. And we're just waiting for better, faster hardware and better, faster frameworks. But not only did watchOS 3 improve a lot of things, but I learned a lot of things that, again, you can't find on the web. And I'm still very conflicted about the watch. Like, I don't know how much time I can reasonably invest in this watchOS 3 app. Like, how much, like, is it worth it, right? But if we decide to spend a few weeks on it, then I know how to make it great again.
Make Nozbe watch app great again.
That's right.
Yeah, I would love that, because I mean, even though the watch is so slow now, I mean, it was really, I mean, people highlighted this, you know, Apple was really shamelessly admitting that they have a watch OS that sucks, actually. And they were like, this is how slow it runs now. And this is what we can do to make it faster. And this is Watch 3 that makes it a lot faster. So they basically were admitting,
yeah,
what we have now just totally sucks. Very, you know, brave of them. But still, you know, I'm still using the watch and I still love the watch, even though, and I still use, you know, our complication and our app, but it is slow. So I hope that you can make it great again.
Yeah. We'll think about it, right? Because like, as we talked about it in a few episodes back, it's like so hard, because the watch OS department is not even one person, because I'm split between watch OS and iOS and Mac OS and a bunch of other things, right? So it's a zero-sum game, and it's like really hard to decide, like, is it worth working on, right? But if it is, then yeah, we'll make it great again.
And just to for the listeners to like understand the enthusiasm we have for new technology, like I think Monday hasn't even, you know, concluded yet, and I got an iMessage from Radek saying, you know, Michael, I could use a spare iPhone, you know, for testing, and I was like, yeah, all right. So so I was like, okay, yeah, we'll think about it. And he was like, yeah, Michael, if you could buy it for me now, I could pick up, you know, in the morning from the local Apple store. So it was Radek, and then I decided, you know, why don't I just give a call to our local here? So I wanted to upgrade my devices to iOS 10, and and apparently iOS 10 doesn't support A5 devices. So my iPad 3, my iPad 1, iPad Mini 1, are not supported. So my old devices, my testing devices, my iPod Touch 5th generation is not supported. So I was disappointed.
Isn't
on
it?
Tuesday.
I think it is supported, but it's going to be awful. Okay.
No, A5 devices are gone. No support for them. So
at last.
Yeah, so not really. And then I was like, I was disappointed for like 5 minutes. And then I called my local, you know, reseller and asked, how are things? And remember me, you know, I just placed an order for one of the things. I mean, do you have, you know, some kind of offer now or something that maybe, we can give you like a 15% discount or something. Okay, then I'm buying. And then I bought myself a whole slew of new devices, new and gold devices, just for testing. So I have a laptop, a MacBook in gold with macOS Sierra, and I've been writing an article today on it, testing macOS Sierra. I have an iPad with iOS 10, and I have an iPod Touch 6th generation on iOS 10 as well. So of course the official version for the team and for the company and for my wife is, these are testing devices that will serve me for the years to come. So I had to make the investment, you know, to have these devices and have the cutting edge operating system right there. So basically last weekend was for me an installing party, and I was installing iOS and Mac, and I was very, very happy.
It's nice how you rationalize all of this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm still trying, you know, and especially really just... You should have seen me talking on the phone with the local reseller. The moment she told me that I will get an additional discount, apart from the normal discount they give me, I was like, okay, order this.
Boom, done. Did you get them in gold?
Everything is in gold.
That's great.
The MacBook is in gold, the iPad is in gold, and the iPod Touch is in gold. Everything is gold.
Wow. Real-time update. I'm just looking at the stats, and 0.12% of our users are already on iOS 10, and 0.15% are on macOS Sierra.
Wow.
The bad thing is that Nozbe doesn't work on iOS 10, and I don't know about Sierra, but it's very likely that it doesn't work there either.
I would check Sierra, but I mean, on iOS 10, most things don't work if you think about it. I'm writing a column for iMagazine, like our Polish lifestyle magazine, and my monthly column about productivity, and I'm actually writing about productivity on iOS 10, so like and macOS Sierra, what's new and how it improves productivity, like the Siri and these things, and I wanted to try out, you know, continuity and continue writing the document in Pages on the iPad, and the Pages doesn't launch on the iPad on iOS 10 at all. It just starts and crashes, so it doesn't work at all on iOS 10.
The funny thing about the Nosby bug, I mean, it's a trivial thing, and I've already fixed it pretty much. I mean, it will need some more work before we actually ship it to App Store, but I fixed it enough that tomorrow I'll probably put it on Testlight if any of our users are using Testlight, so they can run on iOS 10. But essentially, the thing is that there's some logic that decides like which database, like data storage solution, should be used in code that's like shared between iOS and the web and macOS. And amusing thing is that we relied on an assumption that a thing doesn't exist in the iOS native app deciding which one to choose. And since they fixed it, by fixing it, they broke our app. So they fixed it so hard as to break Nosby.
All right. So by fixing thing, they broke us. All right. Okay, so yeah. I will test the Mac app anyway. I haven't tested it yet, but please do ship the iOS version and onto the test flight so I can also try it out on my iOS, on my golden iOS devices. This is so much fun.
One piece of trivia that I kind of shared with you before WWDC, and it there's an update to it. So. Have you heard of this concept, this theory of 6 degrees of separation?
Yeah, you were saying that you are almost related to Elon Musk or something.
Yeah, but I didn't say it on the show. So like, if anyone didn't hear about it, I'll put a link to the Wikipedia article. But essentially, the idea is that if you like make a network, a map of like human relationships, like people knowing each other, then the average separation between any two people on Earth will be 6 or less, right? And it's a neat concept because like it's like very difficult to actually test it out and measure in the bigger world, obviously, but it's like surprising how connected we are, just how small the world is, because the networks, the human networks are such that like there are these hubs, these people who know a lot of people, right? And even like everyone, even if most people like don't know a lot of people, almost everyone knows someone who knows quite a lot of people, and they know someone else who knows a lot of people. And so through these hubs, it's just surprising how close we are to each other. And I made a realization a few weeks ago, which is just quite amusing, that I'm 4 degrees of separation from Elon Musk.
Yeah, right.
Which is, again, like ridiculous. Like, I'm no one, right? And Elon Musk is Elon Musk. But again, like it's actually easier to trace yourself to someone well-known, because well-known people know a lot of people, right? it's easier actually to find a connection to Elon Musk than to like some totally random person in the middle of China, say, right? And I actually met someone in San Francisco that brings my path to Elon to 3 degrees of separation.
Whoa.
Yeah, so like, yeah, San Francisco. WWDC, it's like everyone is there.
So. Yeah, but actually, I mean, what you said is that, you know, that it's hard to trace it in the real world. But Let's talk about this new thing that Microsoft bought, LinkedIn. So
I heard about it.
Yeah. So just on Monday when there was the keynote, Microsoft decided to spoil the show and do something, you know, for the companies to write about. They bought LinkedIn because CEO of Microsoft was fed up with the spam messages coming from LinkedIn. So he just bought the company.
I'm sure that's why.
Yeah, that was, he just was just, you know, he just couldn't unsubscribe, so he just bought the company.
That's confirmed info.
Exactly. So the thing is that very often I was checking somebody on LinkedIn, you know, like somebody I knew, like from somewhere, right? Famous or famous from me, you know, from my industry or something. And I would put their name, I would, you know, and they would be on LinkedIn, for example. I would check, you know, this, and then they would show me that they're second degree contact or third degree contact. So like really, they're really close. I mean, if you think about it, you know, I mean, really, yeah. Like second degree is that they know somebody from my contact list, right? So it's already, and then most of them are in second degree and some of them are in third. So I remember that moment that when I was actually looking that up, a few years ago, I was just surprised that almost anyone I would put on LinkedIn and who would have an account there was second or third degree from me. So very, very close. And again, you know, who am I? I mean, just amazing, like how close people are if you think about it. And LinkedIn really shows it pretty straightforward.
Yeah, yeah. And again, that like shows this hub behavior that you might be humble now, but like I'm even more of a no one than you are, right? But because I know you, it's like everyone you know or know someone that knows them, I'm like the same plus one, right?
Right.
So like it's this thing that we're like so close to each other that it's really surprisingly easy to get to know someone or whatever, because we're actually not that far apart in this graph of connections and acquaintances.
Yeah, and okay, a segue, but something that I just recently was talking to a friend about it, that again, it gives you another reason, not just ethics or anything, it gives you another reason not to upset people and not to be not such a nice guy, because world is connected, you know, and if you do something stupid, something, you know, not nice, you know, chances are, you know, that this will show up later, or this person knows somebody that you don't want them to know that person, but they know, and then you know, this backfires. So it's really like it's really not a good policy actually to be a not so nice person to other people. I'm just trying not to use the word that I want to use. So
you don't have to be so polite about it. It's not worth to be a total jerk.
Yeah,
that's so still just, a nice way of putting it. But like you're obviously very careful with your wording, and so am I. But like the point is, you know, people might not say it like super publicly, but like we know, right? We've had this experience when it turned out that a person we both know, or a person of you know, an acquaintance of acquaintance, like it's like, we've seen those situations
exactly
when someone turned out to be like pretty awful, and they might have thought that it's okay because no one will ever know, but we did know, and
exactly,
and the knowledge of that did propagate throughout the network, let's just say.
Exactly. That's why it's not a good policy to be a jerk. A good policy is to do the right. Like that's why it's always good to do the right thing, you know. And that's the bottom line here.
Ah, that's so true.
And so how were, you know, how was meeting the people that, you know, that you like, and that you, I mean, like did you spend some really quality time with them, or just was just hi, or, you know, was it something that stood out that really, you know, made your day?
It depends. I spent some real quality time with some of them. Some of them I I saw a few times, and so we chatted a bit, whatever. Some of them I just said hi to, but still could, you know, shake their hands and like meet, right? So it really depends. There was like so many people, but yeah, it was awesome, and it was surprising. You know, like I didn't know I would see and meet so many people I know from the internet, right? That I would make so many new friends on this conference.
No, this is this is something that that for me it's has been recently a theme that I'm trying actually. I mean, I just was on a conference, you know, in our like here industry in Poland, you know, and I met lots of old friends and made some new friends, who I met personally the first time. But I'm looking forward to a few conferences in the future that I have never been to. And I just want to, I mean, I know a few people who will be there, but apart from that, I will just be meeting new people, like completely new people. And this is kind of, it's a scary thing because, you know, because it's totally out of, you know, out of your comfort zone. But I decided that if I want to dedicate time to actually going to a new conference, I would like to just, you know, meet, you know, have a few people I can hook up to. I mean, I know, but then most will be new. And I just remember, you know, we talked about it in one of the shows that we went together to London, and I was on the WordCamp conference, a conference about, you know, WordPress, which is not actually exactly what, you know, it was something we did last year, but it's not exactly related to Nozbe. But I met some fantastic people there, and the connections from there are still paying off today. So this is great.
Yeah, I feel like it's easier if you know someone or a few people if you're in a new place, because it's like you'll feel much more comfortable there, but you know, you can get introduced to a lot of people through them and just, you know, easier blend in and you know, actually make new friends. If you are or feel like you're a total stranger, I feel like it's a bit harder.
Yeah, but for example, for WordCamp, I didn't know anyone there. And the good thing was, I mean, it was the bad thing, but the good thing was I had to be prepared. I had to walk up to people and just talk to them, because otherwise I would be just standing there like an idiot, you know, and supporting the wall, you know. So what I did was I did some research on the speakers, on who's coming, and you know, and the speakers I found interesting, I just talked to them, just went to them and just said hi and introduced myself, gave them my card, and then. This just forces you to be out of your comfort zone. But as you said, it's better to have at least a few hooks, you know, a few people that can, as you said, introduce you and help you out. But it's important not to just be leaning on them and just do, you know, just be sticking with them all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's the point isn't to stick to your already well-defined comfort zone. It's to kind of expand it. One thing I realized again and again lately is just how awesome and how useful it is, how much it pays off in the long run to just be places and like be available and meet new people. And I'm saying this like from a perspective of a total introvert who'd like most comfortable just staying at home and doing my own thing, but like I had such a blast and it was so useful for my work also on this WWDC. But this would never happened if a number of other events would not also have happened, right? I would not be on WWDC if I wasn't on MCE, where you convinced me to sign up for this WWDC, yeah. Right? A lot of great friends who were on the conference and through whom I met some new people. I've met on other conferences or meetups like earlier in the year, the two Polish friends I hung out with throughout my whole stay, I wouldn't have met them if I wasn't on Swift Warsaw and on Swift Crunch and a few other events in Poland. Some of the like awesome things that have happened, to be a bit vague, would not have happened if I wasn't on WWDC 2 years ago. So like this was great, but this only happened and happened in the way it happened. It was only as great as it was because of a number of events that happened before, right? And if I wasn't there, if I wasn't going on a few conferences before, if I wasn't a speaker in a few places, if I wasn't kind of making myself available, if I only stuck to my comfort zone, this would never have happened.
Yeah, it's it's as you know, as late Steve Jobs said on his Stanford commencement speech, that it's hard to connect the dots.
Exactly.
But you can connect them back, you know, backwards if you think about it. And that's why it's also important to make these gut feeling decisions. You know, we should go there or we should do this because this feels right. This feels that, you know, I should be doing that. Of course, you can always, you know, decide, you know, I'm going to show up in every conference there is or whatever. but that's also not the point. But as I said, it's the point to choose some of the events and to force yourself, as you said, especially for you, an introvert, to force yourself out and do these things, because then later, this brings you to some other things. And I still remember, I know, our chat in the late evening just before the lottery to WWC was stopping, and asking you if you should, you know, if you wanted to go, and you know, just moments later you were chosen.
It was the morning, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, but you're saying we should make this gut decision, but the thing is you should often look past these gut feelings, because for me, a lot of those things, the gut feeling was like stop, don't do this. It didn't feel awesome and exciting in advance. It was only a feeling I had and a kind of false memory looking back after it happened. But at the moment I was deciding, I was like, I should do this, but it didn't feel nice. It felt uncomfortable, like, maybe I shouldn't do this. And I'm glad I did, but I didn't go with the lizard brain was telling me, which
yeah,
is like,
of course.
Stop. Mm-hmm. It was the opposite.
Yeah, I I would like to link in the show notes to Seth Godin lizard brain presentation, because I think I've seen it like 5 times already or 6 times. This is so good. And when he's saying, you know, they're going to laugh at me, I'm scared, get me out of here. You know, this, like, really, this is...
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is it. And so the lizard brain is always, you know, against us when we do this. But, and I remember you, I mean, I remember your face. I mean, when I asked you about WWDC, you said, you were not like, yeah, let's go, let's do it, Michael. You were like, all right, as you said, you know, I'm sure they will not even choose me, so whatever. But yeah, you were not that, you know, over the top, happy.
I was not excited until I actually got there. Like for weeks before the conference, it all felt very stressful. Like there was so much I had to take care of, so much I had to... like plan and book and, you know, pay for this, pay for that. Just like so much I had to take care of or just felt like really overwhelmed with it. And it was only when all of that was behind me and I actually arrived, only then was I like, yes, this is going to be great. So it's like, it was kind of an investment, right? I knew it will... pay off in the long term, and it was even better than I suspected. But it doesn't always feel nice and exciting until it actually happens.
Yeah, and you know, because of what you learned and because of who you've met, the results for our company, for us sending you there, are very long term. I mean, we don't know. I mean, maybe this will pay off, you know, tenfold, or maybe this will pay off only a little bit, or maybe we don't know. So we'll see. And but I'm really excited about it, and I'm really happy that you went there. And I can't wait that you put, you know, all of this into work and make our watch app great again. And this is because the thing is that, you know, we are a developer from Poland, from Central Eastern Europe, and for us, it's not that easy to be so close to Apple, to be so close to them. As you said, you learned things that you wouldn't have learned otherwise. You met people from Apple that you wouldn't normally meet because you don't live in Cupertino. It's not like you meet them in the bar, you know, next to the mothership. It's really hard. I remember, you know, talking to Evernote guys. I was eating lunch with Phil Libin, the ex-CEO of Evernote, then CEO of Evernote, and he told me, the guy from Apple, yeah, we know this guy, yeah, and then we also hired this guy from Apple, and they are so close because they were in the valley, so they are so well connected because they're there. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's really harder to do it, to make it happen, you know, to make these connections. So that's why I think, you know, when we do, we should go and we should try to make most of it, because otherwise, you know, just via Twitter and you know, email, it's not the same.
Yeah, and I guess that is one advantage of actually being in Silicon Valley. And it's like so many other disadvantages, but it is great to be like so close to so many things happening in this industry. And like also it's not just that we're far away, but especially being from Poland, this trip is very expensive, right? It's much easier, like if you're already in the valley, justifying a week-long WWDC conference is much easier than for us, but it will pay off. I can already see paying it off real soon.
Yeah, I mean, but also, you know, also what I think is also, it's not just that, but I think I don't want to undermine, you know, your preparation for that. I mean, because you went there, you know, expecting a few things, doing a few things, you know, meeting these people. You wanted to meet, you know, a few people that you've met, actually. And, of course, some of the, you know, CGP Grey wasn't actually, I don't think he was on your list, but...
He was not on my list.
Exactly. But so you know, so the randomness happens and the serendipity happens, which is even better. But you were prepared, and you went to a place, I mean, to a conference, actually, where, as you said, most of the people in this network go to. This is the moment to go to. Yeah. If you know, like, if you want to max out your dollars for by coming to a place in San Francisco where most of the people also from outside of San Francisco will come at the same time, that has to do with the Apple platforms. This is the moment.
Yeah.
Like this, that's it. This is the week. I mean, there's no other thing like that. So it's also the conscious choice of coming in the exact time frame and being prepared and getting there, you know, the whole enchilada, you know?
Oh yeah. And that's the difference between now and 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I was not prepared. It was my first WWDC. It was my first trip to the US. It was my first kind of real conference. I didn't know anyone. I didn't know anything. And so it was kind of cool, and it was good that I went, but this time, knowing what I've learned over the last 2 years and having already met some of the people I've met over the last 2 years and being much more prepared, that made all of the difference. And I feel like, 70% of WWDC attendees every year are first timers. And many of them were not prepared. Like I talked with some people who were like, yeah, it was kind of cool, but they were not impressed. They didn't get what I got out of the conference. But it wasn't because it was like they were in a different place. They were in the same place I was, but they were not as prepared. They didn't fully take advantage of the opportunity. There were things they didn't know, like I didn't know when I was there for the first time. And so like it's a great opportunity, but you also have to know how to actually take advantage of that.
Yeah, totally. So I have a basketball corner. Can I?
Okay.
My team lost. That's it.
Okay.
You know, my team, Golden State Warriors from the, you know, Bay Area, almost lost the semifinals. I mean, the conference finals. They were down 3-1 and they still managed to come victorious and get to the finals. And we talked about it, that they were just too proud to be, you know, unbeatable and everything. And then in the finals, they were not great, but they won the first two games. They lost the third, but then they won the fourth. They were 3-1. They were great. Just one game and they are the freaking champions. And then they lost three games in a row. And
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm really depressed because of that, because I was really cheering on them, but cheering for them, but they deserved to lose because they just were not great. They were not the team that they were in the regular season. And on that bombshell, I would like to end the show.